And while it was an explosive day in Washington yesterday, there were also some interesting moments in Atlanta last night. 10 Democrats participated in their fifth debate, hosted by a panel of women moderators from The Washington Post and MSNBC. Let's get the highlights from NPR's political reporter Jessica Taylor. She joins us from Washington. And Jessica, last night seemed really more civil than contentious, but there were some back and forth moments with a few candidates. What were some big issues that stood out to you most?
It really did sort of start off slow. I wonder if the candidates were maybe as sleep deprived as some of us here in Washington were from watching the hearings. And they were asked about, you know, impeachment and Sondland's testimony early on. One thing that we didn't hear a lot about was typically these things have been almost consumed at the beginning of talk about the Medicare for All plans and the differences between them. But they got to a lot of different issues that we haven't heard in previous debates on housing issues, on affordable child care. So they really sort of were able to, I think, expand what they talked about. And Elizabeth Warren, center stage, she had the most speaking time still. But then you had other candidates that were sort of making late plays. Pete Buttigieg, the South Bend, Indiana mayor, he's been rising in the polls there. And it seemed like at first that, you know, we thought going in that, you know, candidates would try to attack him. He's sort of the rising front runner, at least in Iowa. But it was really sort of civil for the first 90 minutes.
That's right. So as you said, Buttigieg has been doing pretty well in the polls, which might explain why later in the night he was a target. Here's one jab he got from Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who, like the mayor, is also a veteran.
I think the most recent example of your inexperience in national security and foreign policy came from your recent careless statement about how you as president would be willing to send our troops to Mexico to fight the cartels.
To which Buttigieg called Gabbard's criticism outlandish, and he said that she was taking him out of context.
I was talking about U.S.-Mexico cooperation. We've been doing security cooperation with Mexico for years. Do you seriously think anybody on this stage is proposing invading Mexico?
Jessica, I'm really curious, what are your thoughts on this exchange? How did Buttigieg handle that heat last night?
Well, I think this clash with Gabbard, I think, is instructive of sort of the differences that we see between her and the other candidates on foreign policy, because he had sort of a later retort to her saying that, you know, questioning her foreign policy worldview, she has really sort of advocated for, you know, she doesn't want to continue regime change wars, as she has said repeatedly. And he questioned her judgment after she has previously met with Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. Gabbard has held far more conservative views on many things than the rest of the field. And she had another exchange later, earlier in the night with California Senator Kamala Harris, where she essentially accused her of being a Republican plant in a way, going on Fox News and criticizing Democrats. And that's the way a lot of Democrats sort of see her candidacy, with this skepticism. So I think you saw sort of a real sort of tension there on stage between Gabbard and some of the other candidates.
Yeah, let's also talk about Biden last night. There were several verbal missteps. He called Senator Carol Mosley Braun the only black female senator, even though Senator Kamala Harris was standing a couple of feet away from him. I want to know, compared to candidates, he also seemed, the other candidates, he seemed to respond pretty subdued. He didn't respond as quickly as some of the others. Do you think these slip-ups will hurt him in the polls, especially with black voters, which was brought up a lot last night?
This is sort of the way we have seen him in these debates, and his support has remained, you know, fairly the same. I mean, he really sort of touted his support in the black community, and that is something that Buttigieg, for instance, really struggles with, and he had to answer questions about race and things. And Biden, we really haven't seen his support there erode. You know, even if he is lagging behind in Iowa and New Hampshire, his firewall sort of is there in South Carolina, the first state, first early state that they will get to with a significant African-American population. He did sort of face some questions about this later on. But yeah, I mean, he has these verbal stumbles, but it really doesn't seem to make much of a difference.
Yeah, some other highlights. Senator Cory Booker, he struggled to stand out in the race. He had a few moments last night. But with just under a month, Democrats will be back to the sixth debate. What are the qualifications for it? And who's made the cut so far in the little time that we have with you?
So as it keeps going upward, they have to meet higher benchmarks. For December, they have to reach at least 4% in four polls or 6% in two early state polls, along with 200,000 unique donors. So who has made that so far is Biden, Buttigieg, Harris, Klobuchar, Sanders, and Warren. Tom Steyer, who has spent over $48 million of his own money in the race, wasn't, again, a player in his second debate, really. He has hit the polling benchmarks because he's been spending heavily in these early states. We're not sure yet if he has hit the donor benchmarks. And that's why I think you saw a last sort of gasp from Cory Booker, who had a very strong debate, seemed to his campaign said he raised a lot online. Will that be enough for him to get in the polls where he needs to?
He pushed a lot of people to his website last night. That's NPR's political reporter Jessica Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.